And then the man comes to shake class wearing white shirt and yellow stripes. And they say, Lord, did you get the color right? I said red. No. So Christians say that no, it's not right. It is in the spirit of a man that a man discovers what God is saying. You know, let me summarize like this. I don't want to teach on how to be led by the Spirit now. But let me summarize like this. There is no absolutely yes or no in that question. To that question as an answer. There is none. They said fleecing was Old Testament is not true. It's very close to casting lots, for your information. And in the New Testament, people cast lots. Are you getting the point? I'm not going to discuss that in details. But it's not, again, as easy to use as people try to use it. Because the problem with people sometimes is that they are hiding. They know what they should do, like I said last time, but they don't want to do it. Remember the story I told you about somebody looking for counseling? Who knew what the correct godly answer was? If you fleece when you have the knowledge of the truth, you are looking for trouble. But listen, when indeed you have exhausted yourself and God looks at the integrity of your heart and you are prompted to give a reasonable fleece, it also works. Believe me, it works. Let me give you an example. This will make you laugh. The day I finally asked my wife to marry me officially, I was surprised. I thought that the signals were very clear. You know, you... Ola Yenka, where you did? Uh-huh. An experienced man like me. You know when the signal is positive. Do you get my point? For example, when I was traveling, I bought a ring. I mean, I had reason. I'm not an idiot now. You get what I'm trying to say? Except that she just lost liver at the last minute. Courage failed her. You know what I'm trying to say? You know what I mean to lose liver? She just lost heart. So I was so angry and disappointed. I just said, please, I'm going back to Lagos from whence I came forth. And I carried my bag and I began to go. My friend actually took me to the park. I was about to leave. And she prayed a simple prayer that, God, if he does not go, then I will marry him. Are you getting the point? Then later that evening, she got a phone call that showed that I didn't go. Of course, I got to the park. All the bosses said, where are you going? We don't have space again. So as soon as I got to one or two stations and they would talk like that, I knew it was the will of God. I didn't go anywhere. So I carried my bag and went back to my friend's house, which is my toasting base. Do you understand my point? My friend's house. Now, I'm bringing out something here. That you see, you don't just fleece anyhow like God. If you want me to eat spaghetti this morning, let that door open to the left. There are things that are just pure foolish. Even God will answer you. That you don't have work. Be asking whether I should eat spaghetti. Okay, don't eat spaghetti now. You are getting what I'm going to say. He said, look, are you idiot? How can the door open to the left? Can't you see where the hinge is? You want me to break it, Shay? Now, those are the unreasonable things that people do that make Christians say that it is not right. In the same manner, you shouldn't check your spirit when you know what to do. In fact, in my opinion, most times don't check your spirit. When it is wrong, the spirit will speak up. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? I mean, when you wake up in the morning, you say, Lord, should I fry egg this morning? Let me check my spirit. Egg. The Lord said potato. Oh, God. All those things. Now, if you wake up for morning, if not egg, they hungry you. Buy egg. Put them on fire. Which one is praying about egg? If you are broke, be honest that I would like to chop egg, but are you getting my point? Don't say that you will be praying over whether you should eat egg or you shouldn't eat egg. Those are the things that make this is very ridiculous. But if you look at the situation, this man's situation here, I mean, he needed that thing. And look, as a Christian, don't say that you will get there and your spirit will tell you. Your spirit is not going to tell you anything. You see, you have never been confused and confounded. That's why you think your spirit is very loud. I say this all the time. God is very kind. When he was going to deliver Lot, and Lot was wasting time, the angel took him by force and led him on by force. They didn't say, you see, we have warned you. We are going to smoke you with demo. When the man was wasting time, they took him by the hand and forcefully ejected him. I mean, that's how kind God is. Are you getting my point? When he says that he will direct your steps or direct your path. What he was saying, like if you get to a junction, I've said this as an illustration before. You have come to that junction in the integrity of your heart. You have tried your best. That's how you got to a junction. And there are four roads. Lord, which one do I take? There are many ways God will let you know which one to take. Number one of the ways is that inside your heart, you may hear a word, all right, that says go left. It happens. But that's not even very common. More likely, what you will do is that you will get there, you will turn right, and you will see road closed, construction works. That road is closed. That's what it means. Then you want to go straight, you see one way, no entry. Abi, how many remain? Left. And you turn to the left, and it is open, and you can go on it. Even if it's rough, you know this is the one you should enter. Do you get my point? Listen, you are a good Christian man, because this is the interesting part here. The criteria, all right, or the major criterion that he gave was that they had a relationship, all right? And in the Christian application is that you want to get married, the person must love the Lord. You don't want to marry somebody who doesn't love the Lord. You don't want to. You're not married. The man you want to marry, he drops you off in church and goes to watch Manchester Disunited. I mean, somebody said they disunited. I was watching TV recently. Oh, no, it was on Cosmo FM. They said Manchester who disunited them now? AC Milan. According to them, that AC Milan has disunited Manchester. That's what the guy on Cosmo said. So you want to go and watch the disunity caused by AC Milan? And look. There are little things you should take serious at the beginning. Are you getting my point? For example, this man said it very clearly. Look, I am working on the promise of God. I'm working according to the promise of God. I'm claiming an inheritance from God. If the woman is not willing to come, please forget her. When I was giving, people asked me several times, what exactly did you want in a wife? This question was asked me before I got married. I said, there are three things that are primary for me. And if I tell you, if I want to explain to you now, you will see how I came to them. I said, number one, I must marry I'm marrying a Christian. I don't think it's an important criterion to give the Lord, you know. It's taken for granted. It's taken for granted. I mean, I won't marry a Muslim. I'm going to the church, I'm going to the mosque. You know, that's out of the question. All right? Now, I must marry a Christian. Number one, that one is taken for granted. It's not just that you're a Christian, but that you must love the Lord. And I don't mean love the Lord. You know, there are some people who love the Lord, they never leave church. In the morning, they're supposed to go to work at 8. By 6, they're in church. In fact, one pastor came to see me yesterday. He said that pastors have misled Christians. He said they are supposed to be out there taking over kingdoms for God. You make them come to church every day. You know, their homes. Look, I don't want to mention, there are churches that the way the women are taught, the way the people are taught in church is to make the women very bad wives and useless mothers. Of course, there's church on Sunday, which lasts from maybe 7 o'clock till 1 p.m. On Saturday, the woman is in the choir, come for choir practice. There's women's meeting on Tuesday, and then the Bible study on Thursday. And you look at it, this woman has a husband, she has a job maybe, and then she has children. Listen to me, you can't attend all those services and be pleasing to God. It's not possible. I know the impression in some of those. I've been in church before. I went to preach there. And some of the kind of questions. And our husbands, they know that when we are supposed to be in church, how come our husbands will still be demanding that I was looking at them. They didn't ask me to answer. I said, sister, please, on Sunday days, don't go to church. It's not necessary. Because you fill the whole week with activity. Now let me leave that side. It's not right. Okay? Now, so me, I was never interested I didn't want to marry a martyr. You know what they call a martyr? Yes, I wanted a Mary. There are two kinds of ministries amongst women that follow the Lord. There are those that are always doing the cooking. The Lord is there sharing revelation about the kingdom of God. They are there cooking. And he said, look at those women. They're just like they are not even helping us with cooking. Sit down there. The Lord is angry with you. Now, who wants to cook? There is time for everything. Do you get my point? When the teaching of the kingdom is going on, it's not the time to cook. That's why, in fact, Elizabeth Maker knows, Once we enter here to start praying, you can't buy CD there. You can't book CD. It's out of it entirely. Are you getting my point? I don't want any other activity going on if you are teaching the word. So for me, that was very, very crucial. Then I said number two. That was number one, that you love the Lord and it's shown by your attitude towards his word, not your church activity. Church activity never moved me. You are the leader of prayer band. I've heard of prayer warriors who are afraid of witches. I told the story before here now. A man, his wife died. He was a member of prayer warrior, and they all helped him for the funeral. So, and then they organized a reception for them to come and just say, for him to say thank you to them. They said, we won't go. The thing that killed his wife is probably still inside the house. I'm telling you. The family told me, came, he said, Banky, this is prayer band in church. I have told you all this prayer of, hey, shako, 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 hey, blah, 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 blah. Listen, some of them can't cross the ceiling. It's worse when they are praying on ground floor with decking on top. Ah. That one, he can't even penetrate concrete. It's not noise. I mean, let me leave that. Let's sit down on this our matter, Joe. Let's sit down on this on the real issue. Yeah, you're getting the point. Now, so look, for me, that was very important. Your attitude towards the word. I said number two. Now, listen, I'm going. Now, listen, Abraham here is describing an inheritance. God has called him out of one land into another land. Now, for me personally, I knew that my job, I've told you before, my job is to instruct people with the word of God, all right, and to teach them in the ways of the kingdom. That has been my job from time. I've believed so much in prosperity, but I knew God didn't allow me, all right, to be the one taking over, like I told you earlier, running DSV out of business. Not me, but one of my men, believe me, one of my co-laborers, my stomach is sweet thinking about it. I knew that. It's a matter of influence because God honors the priest that delivers the word. Are you getting what I'm saying? I know. Now, so I know that that's where we are going. I said, therefore, not only will my wife love the word, she must believe that I have the anointing to teach it. You are getting my point? The whole world may not think I'm anointed, but at least the person where I won't marry must think I'm anointed. I told you one just a few days ago. I said, well, there was one sister I met once. And did I say I met once? Yes, I met her essentially once. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know those kind of, your spirit is moving. Your spirit moved now. Of course, my spirit moved very well. I said, look, this sister, I suspect it's the Lord that is moving. It's suspicion, all right? So one day I went to go and pay her a visit. And then she asked me a question. I gave you the gist before. And I started, I was sharing the word, you know. I mean, if you didn't come with money like this man, what is his name? Abraham's servant. You now went with talents of gold and all of that. If you couldn't go with talents of gold, at least go with something. So I went with, one day when I said, what did you come with? I said, this one, I have it. He said, what do you think of this? I started sharing from Genesis. You know, the way we are here now, sharing Genesis. I went through the purpose of God at the beginning. Revelation to Abraham manifested in Moses and Israel, you know, and then the return of the judges down to revelations in Psalms and the Messianic Psalms. You get my point? And how the major prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Daniel, all right, and Ezekiel began to expound some counsels of God, and the minor prophets supported with short prophecies, and then Malachi began to prophesy about the day to come. And then the day came in Matthew, and went down to Revelation. When I finished, sister said, look, that one now your own. Hey! Instantly, I said, God, you didn't send me here. I'm going home. No. That was when I just backslid. I checked that spirit again. The spirit had cooled down. I went back to me. When I finished Revelation like this, that is, I deliberately shared to impress the young woman. Bros. When the angel of the Lord doesn't go before you, all your proposals, you say, we will build 27-story building. No governor will listen to you. All these business proposals you have been writing. It's because the angel of the Lord didn't go before you. Now, I mean, I didn't need prophecy again. I began to understand that actually that time, it was out of eating too much, maybe chewing gum or sweets, that my stomach was sweet and I was now seeing visions. You are getting what I'm saying? Because I knew the inheritance I was claiming. If you wouldn't come in there, then please, you are not of the Lord. That's what we are trying to say. And that's what Abraham told his servant. Look, you must not take this guy and take him back there. You are following my point in this thing I'm saying. So for me, that was very important. Of course, the third one was that, look, I couldn't stand disrespectful people, and I believe that God said that a woman, Sarah, honored her husband so much that he called her Lord, all right? And that I gave that as my three desires in my heart. I said after that, whether the woman is short or tall, fair or dark, fat or slim, beauty is created by satisfaction in the heart. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to say. The perception of beauty is from the satisfaction in the heart. If you like somebody, the person is fine. That's just it. You know? Once you like, I've seen people say, look at, maybe one of my friends, they looked at the picture of the lady who was dating, said, my God, I don't blame myself. Nah, this girl fine. I look. I kept quiet. You know, I still remember very well. One very useless picture like this. In fact, that's another thing. The picture was very, very bad. I remember the photo. No, this is where they give you. Now, cool gist, though. True gist, though. It really happened, like I said, though. Oh, the Lord is good. Now, let me just continue what I'm saying. So, you see, the point here is that, that thing is created from satisfaction in the heart. Are you getting my point? For those of you who study psychology, you've heard of Oedipus complex, all right? That's the genesis of it. They said that it's based on, of course, the story of the Greek story of Oedipus that killed the father and married the mother. So the psychologists described that they noticed that young boys who are very close to their mothers tend to marry wives that look like their mother. And that's very, very true. And people say that was the reason. I said, the reason is simple. Because of the satisfaction of the love that they experience from their mothers. Their mother's features have been equated with beauty. So when he sees somebody that looks like the mother, in his heart, all right, something rises up towards that person. It's not as if he wants to marry a replica of his mother. That's what psychologists try to say. No. The way it is that the picture of beauty in his heart has been created by the affection from his mother. Are you getting my point? After all, what was fine, I remember very well, in the 70s, is not what is fine today. Those days, you wanted to marry, you are in Calabar area, you have to go to fattening rooms. But now, you go to leaning rooms. They shrink you for your wedding gown. No be so. The girl make the wedding gown, after that, she no go chop again. Say, why? I must fit into the wedding gown. And squeeze your stomach like that. You can hardly walk. It is fine now. So beauty is not absolute. There's a reason why we think some things are fine. So once you have those things, what becomes fine is just your personal perception, all right? Now, so the point I'm making is that this guy had those things set. This guy is not going back. Now, having put all these things together, I brought out an issue here that it was God that appointed Rebecca. All these other things of fleecing. You know, we started this by talking about fleecing and all of that. Now, having satisfied, for me personally, let me just conclude that. Having satisfied all those things, what is it the will of God? Two things decide whether it's the will of God after that. One, whether I actually feel like proposing to the woman. Because if I don't feel like marrying somebody, I won't marry the person. No matter how much I don't know whether you are getting what I'm saying. No matter how much you fit all the picture I've painted, if in my heart I just don't desire it. And that's what the Bible calls the spirit of a man, actually. People don't understand that. Because there's something inside you that just, everything looks all right, but I don't want it. You are getting the point. Everything looks, in fact, this happened to me before in recent times. Everything looks not all right. But I told my wife, I'm sorry, I just can't pull back from this endeavor. There's something in me just pushing me on. Nobody can teach you that. It's a personal experience. Are you getting my point? And then secondly, what makes it the will of God? No matter how willing the will of God is in that willing situation, if the girl says no, it's no. Fine out. There's nothing you can do. Because I have prayed. In fact, when I was dreaming, I went to the third heavens. And in the third heavens, I beheld the earth. And I saw the plan of God as he orchestrated the events. And I saw it that she is marrying me. But you have asked her now. She has said no. I said, I'm going to pray. Wait, pray until she gets married. As soon as she gets married, you have to forget it. You are getting the point of this is I'm saying. Now, it's very important we understand these things. So, in this guy's case, was he fleecing? No, I don't believe that. The correct criteria has been set. He said, clearly we have seen that he has explained to us that it is God that chose the wife. So, he said, show mercy to my master. He said, and then by this I will know the person you have appointed for your servant Isaac. Very important. Now, he now went ahead and then he carried out what he said. The young woman came. Verse 16. The girl was very beautiful, a virgin, and no man had had relations with her. And she went down to the spring and filled her jar and came up. Then the servant ran to meet her and said, please let me drink a little water from your jar. And the woman just quickly responded, drink, and not only will I drink, I will also draw for your camels until they are finished drinking. Now, this was exactly a confirmation of what he prayed for earlier. You can see that. Now, in fact, it was as if the young woman heard him. All right? Now, please, notice something. Did she speak by her own will? I don't know. Maybe, listen, because there are different ways this thing works. Maybe he discovered what he would say, what she would say. And that was what his spirit perceived. I don't know whether I get my point. Some of these things that we think we are thinking up, they're actually revelations from God. I said something earlier. I want to talk about the all-wise God. You can't think ahead of him. This man, what is his name now? Just to bring another side to it. Demo Shakarian. Read that, happiest people on earth. When he used to see this woman, this young girl, over the fence. So, in their culture, they don't mix. Males and females don't meet. All right? They don't mix. So he told his father, the father talked to the father of the girl, and then they finally arranged some wedding ceremony and everything, and then that was the day they finally met, during the ceremony. Ah, that's not right. It is not wrong. Do you get my point? It fitted them. It won't fit you. You are not from Armenia, and you were not born again, and all your culture from your mother's womb. Do you get my point? Those guys had a culture of Christianity. You have to get the point. Some of you have the culture of worshiping this. The guy has another culture. Between your in-laws and, you know, the two families, they have nothing in common. The only thing that brought them together is the gospel in the heart of the two children who got born again in their 20s. Now, you understand that it can't work like that. You are getting what I'm saying. Now, but in their situation, it worked. And finally, they left the man and the young lady alone to meet for the first time, to talk. And before that, he had recited, you know, he had composed... poems. How beautiful thou art, my beloved. How beautiful thou art. Amongst the lilies and other one I just. As soon as he saw her, all the poems vanished from his stomach. That was it. He said he had rehearsed this thing for days. Then finally he had to say something. So he said, I believe that the Lord wants us to be together. And the young lady looked at him and said, those were the exact words I prayed that my husband would say to me first. You are getting the point I'm making. All the poem, I said, you can't outthink God. All this one, if you are thinking the one that's not the will of God, it will escape. The one that is the will of God is the one that will come forth. So I'm bringing out this thing that it's not a matter of pleasing, all right? It's you do as occasion serves you under certain circumstances, and God will fulfill what you have said. Are you getting my point? Now let's just continue. The man had a confirmation, of course, because once the lady said this, it was still important that she most certainly should be of the lineage of Abraham. And then she asked, and what with the story we read earlier in chapter 22, he confirmed it. I'm the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, whom she bore to Nahor. Nahor was a brother of Abraham. So the man that just knew that, good. I have had it made. And then when he now went down to the house, he repeated, they said, okay, now, please, let me just say this. The man had money, plenty of it, okay? And he went just as he was. And that's how the gospel people like us preach. Are you getting my point? He was the servant of a very wealthy man. So when he went with plenty of gold. In life, there is nothing wrong with being a rich person. Do you follow my point? If you are rich, don't, look, coming to America is a gist. Do you remember, it's not a gist. And now go and pretend to be poor that you might get a good wife. Let me tell you the truth. It's deception. You won't get a good wife like that. I understand the logic behind it. You don't want a woman to marry you for your money. Listen, if you are a child of God, no woman can marry you for your money. So I'm trying to explain something here. You see, the guy went just the way he was. There was no pretense about it. He was a servant of a very wealthy man. And as soon as he saw the lady, he took plenty of jewelry and put on her on her wrist. In verse 37, when he saw the ring, that's Laban, who went ahead later to terrorize her son. When he saw the ring and the bracelet on his sister's wrist, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, he said, "What? This is what the man said to me." And he went to the man, and behold, he was standing by the camels at the spring. Now, that's not actually what I want to bring up. The point I want to bring out is that later on, when he went into their house, they said, "Let us eat." He said, "No, please, I will not eat until I've spoken why I came." He narrated everything, and by it proved to them that that thing was the will of God. Are you getting my point? And please, there's some point I want to make about that, but I'm kind of in a hurry now. What I want to say is simply is this. You see, when you say something is the will of God, all right, and you're walking, and I'm doing this because God said do it. Let me say this. To you, you have to be fully persuaded. I don't know whether you are getting my point. That's why this guy could recite, because there was a process of full persuasion that came to him. He could tell them, "I know it is God." He said, "How do you know?" Number one, "My master said this to me. And when I came, I prayed this prayer. And this happened just as I have said. And then it turned out that this woman was a descendant, that it was a relative of Abraham. So I knew that God has sent his angel ahead of me and has prospered my journey." Let me give myself as a practical example. When I was coming to Enugu then, listen, this is interesting because I knew in my heart, I don't know how I knew, but I just felt that when I finished my residency training, that the place where I'm supposed to be would be dictated by, I just suspected strongly, I won't say I knew, I had a strong suspicion that it would be dictated by where I get an appointment as a university lecturer and a hospital consultant. That's how the job goes, actually. It's a single job like that. Now, so my friends, now, I said, "Why don't you come to Enugu?" It had never crossed my mind until they mentioned it. Are you getting the point? Then another guy, if I didn't even remember that, it was one man came who God arranged that he stayed with me when he came for a course earlier. He now heard that I had passed my exams and I had just gotten married. So he came just to say, "Hello, how are you doing?" And I said, "Please, why don't you come? We need a pathologist in Enugu." Are you getting the point? And then I said, "Like what? Enugu, I had only been to Enugu once in my life. And before then, I'd only crossed the Niger twice. Three times. That if you add the one that I came to Enugu, then two times I went to Niger. All right? Once I went with a friend, went to buy stuff. And then once I went alone to buy some stuff at the head bridge there. All right? Now, apart from that, I never crossed the Niger. You get my point? So it didn't even cross my mind. I had no desire for Enugu because I don't think about it. You only desire what you think about. I don't even think about the place. But these their ideas started bringing some issues to my mind. And I began to feel like going there. Then there was one brother once. I had not seen him for a while. His name is Prebo. And Prebo saw me and, "Pastor Banky, how now? A long time we were just gisting." And then without any prompting from my side, without anything, I didn't tell him. He just started talking. He said, "Do you know Enugu is a very nice place?" Now listen to me. The guy had no way of knowing I was considering going to Enugu. He said, "You know, Enugu is a very nice place. It's a very nice and quiet town. I'm sure you like Enugu. You know, we're just talking." I look like, "Are you talking to me?" I still remember we were in front of RMO3 in Luth. Now, why did I tell the story? If you ask me now, all right, how are you sure it was the will of God that you came here? I have many stories to tell you. I've just given you a bit on why I'm sure that it was the will of God that I came to Enugu. Apart from the fact that I'm already seeing the fruit of it. Are you getting the point I'm making? All right. So I'm just now to explain that thing about the will. I don't believe that it's guesswork. To the person who's working in that, he's persuaded concerning what he's doing. Please, I hope you are getting my point. All right. Now, this is the last thing I want to highlight, and then we will leave here. Of course, as you know, they agreed to give this girl out in marriage to this man. And in verse 57, before 57, they accepted. The man said, "Please, I want to quickly go back." Then in 57, they said, "Let us ask her what she wants." And I believe that's still very important, even if marriages are arranged. Look, listen, there's nothing, let me say this again. There's nothing wrong with arranged marriages if they fulfill the criteria of God. Do you understand my point? Last of all, however, is you ask each person, "Do you want to marry this person?" And the person says no, That is when the evil in arranged marriages begin. Are you getting my point? I believe this is the just perfect order. Is that okay? Yeah, my father knew his father, and this and that, and then I knew he's a Christian, man. And then they finally arranged for people to meet. The question at the end of the day: do you like him and want to marry him? If the answer is yes, arranging a marriage is good. If finally the last day you meet, the answer is no. Anybody that wants to now compel any of the parties is now working against God at that point in time. Are you getting the point I'm making? All right. If look, people can recommend people. It was when I was much younger that I felt like those things were very archaic. Now I know there's nothing archaic in it. But at the end of the day, no matter how much your father prayed or your mother interceded, all right, finally you met the guy and you decided you didn't like him. Listen, you owe nobody any explanation. Anybody wants to now compel you at that time is the one working against God. If it is God, let him fight for himself. I don't know whether you get my point. If you think it's the will of God, then let him persuade the lady. I believe this is so crucial. He asked her simply, will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. You can't force anybody to marry anybody. All right, but this is what I want to bring out. They sent her away. No, verse 59. Thus they sent away their sister and her nurse with Abraham's servant and his men. Now, please notice this. This is what I want to emphasize. They blessed Rebecca. From her household, she was blessed. They said to her, may you, our sister, become thousands of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them. He said, then Rebecca arose with her mates, and they mounted the camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebecca and departed. Now, let me just read the rest of the story. The next time I will continue, but I will highlight what I want to say here. He says, before I read the rest of the story, let me just say what I want to say. Now, I emphasize this for you to know that her father blessed her. She didn't have a father then. It was her brother, all right, that was acting, there and other relatives. They blessed her from her husband's house. And later on, we find out that they blessed her with fertility by words. But for the next 20 years, she did not conceive. Rebecca married Isaac, and for 20 years, she did not conceive. We'll discuss that one next time. Until the day that Isaac turned and entreated the Lord for his wife Rebecca's sake. I believe when you are getting married, men of God should bless you. That's very good. But, I was blessed. That was very good, all right? But before they had learned that there's no blessing on your wife until you, the husband, blesses her. We'll discuss that one next week. But I want to just explain this here. That they blessed her before she left home. They did. But the result of that was not felt for 20 years. Until one day, Isaac entreated the Lord. The day I read it, I said, why was he sleeping all this while? Maybe he did it out of desperation one day. It happens. You have been. That's why God pushes you to an end once in a while. You won't do what is right until you become desperate. Are you getting my point? Now that one, we should notice that. Because next week I will explain this principle on the divine order. How God channels the blessing into the house. Alright? But because of time now, let me just begin to round up. Let's read the rest of the story. So now Isaac had come from going to Beelahiro. Please, there's one long word there, alright? For he was living in the Negev. Isaac went out to meditate in the field toward evening, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, camels were coming. It's important that the man used to meditate. So Rebecca lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from the camel. She said to the servant, who is that man walking in the field to meet us? And the servant said, he is my master. Then she took her veil and covered herself. The servant told Isaac all that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebecca, and she became his wife, and he loved her. Thus Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. The man must really have been attached to his mother, you understand? And he took that woman to comfort. And that's the thing. When a woman married who was very, very attached to her father marries a good husband, the father is usually very, very disappointed. Because you won't believe that. You won't believe that this girl used to like me. But now, anything I say, no, my husband didn't say it like that. Ah, Opari. It's called the expulsive power of a new affection. These are the words of Oswald G. Smith. It says the expulsive power of a new affection. Really, actually, that's one of the ways by which God comforts people, actually. God comforts people like that. You lose something, eventually God gives you something else that takes away your attention from that which you have lost. All right, so let me just stop there. All right, what I want to bring out here, maybe next week, I don't want to start again now because of our time. I want to explain a few things about the fact that she dismounted from the camel and showed, when she discovered that that was her husband, and I will explain that one next time, because there's something that's natural with people. If you're a very nice lady, you know, and then there's this man that, you know, you're very nice to him. Ah, good morning, sir. Everything's very, 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 very nice. And then the man begins to show interest. You know, you guys know what I'm saying? And then finally, you guys are now getting along very well. I don't know why. I've seen this every time. I don't know the reason why. Well, I think the lack of instruction. Women think that is the time to become very disrespectful to that person, that after all, we now have something going. Let me tell you, it is very wrong. Listen, this is my order. I believe very strongly. If he was your mate before and you were doing hi, the day you say, yes, I will marry you, or yes, I do, then you take the path of Rebecca and begin to show the man respect. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? No, you know, a lot of times we turn things upside down in life. And, you know, it happens all the time, and do you know the interesting thing? I've been saying, I believe that my revelation of marriage is from God, it's not from man. Because some of these things, I never saw them done until I started teaching them. And he was saying, no, go away. Yeah, you never mind. That's why you're talking about nonsense. I've been teaching this, some of them, before, while I was in university. When I was not even anywhere. I married I graduated in 91, I married in 99. 8 years after I graduated was when I got married. Yet when I was in school, I was already teaching some of these principles. Are you getting my point? I believe very strongly that we'll discuss some of these things maybe when we get down to our, well, don't let's sit all the time on marriage matters. All right? I'll finish of that issue of Isaac and Rebecca next time. I don't want to, we'll go into chapter 25 and chapter 26. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good.